Lois. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me. So you both have strong backgrounds in the fashion industry. So would you agree that there's a bigger link between fashion and the STEM industries than others would potentially think?
Yes, Nathaniel, certainly. I mean, the Frog Club started really to help understand the fashion industry. And for understanding the fashion industry, one needs to consult archives in a museum very often and explore some time-honoured scientific skills that underpin the industry. And we find that those scientific principles, you know, of critical thinking, problem-solving, the application of mathematical algorithms, the sciences of anatomy and morphology and anthropometry, they all fall under a scientific process to ensure accuracy and repeatability. And for the jobs that are out there, you know, young people really are streamed into believing that there are jobs such as designers, product developers, you know, visual merchandisers, and that they're the only jobs out there. And in fact, they're not. You know, we've got a real issue in our fashion industry where qualifications are reflecting those jobs, but what we need is qualifications to reflect technical, technician and engineering skills. And education really has to have a change in emphasis in that curricula to look at that STEM study area rather than, as you said, you know, the high-vis vests and so on.
Mm. Well, you're both the two of Australia's leading patent engineers. Could you tell us a little bit more about what exactly is a patent engineer and what does this career involve?
Well, a patent engineer really is somebody that works in the science of a branch of knowledge that really deals with measuring the body, anatomy, if you like, the skeletal structure. They also deal with morphology, which is about it's about shape and form, and anthropometry, which is really about the science of measurements. And just like an architect, Nathaniel, a patent engineer really starts from that basis of taking measurements, working out a size chart that fits the particular part of the population that they want to market, and then constructing a set of templates, if you like, so that there's some truth and repeatability in sizing. And probably you, like every other person in Australia, you know, you can get garments from overseas and they could be anything from small, medium, large that fits you. So there's no repeatability. And what's happened in the fashion industry is that the jobs that are out there have an assumption that people in those jobs, like a designer, can do all those things. But a designer doesn't do all those things. A designer deals much more with the artistic side of things, and we need people with technical, technician and engineering skills. And some time ago, when Australia decided that manufacturing was going offshore, they didn't seem to give enough thought to the fact that at home here, we needed a design room to back up those people who had those skills of product developers and visual merchandisers and fashion bloggers and designers. And that's really the job of a patent engineer.
Do you think there's some sort of stigma here in Australia against patent engineers?
Oh, I think so. I think it's all... Gosh, life's pretty complex, isn't it, in terms of how you can find the right people to join the dots together so that patent engineers really get paid the right amount of money, because they're level six technicians, really, and industries never wanted to pay those people and accord them that sort of status. The designer has always been the person that has held the status, and in my opinion, both government and industry really abandoned the clothing industry, with the government sending manufacturing offshore and not understanding that a strong design rooms needed to support this move. And the industry let people down in terms of streamlining their workforce, and they expected factory workers to pick up the work of designers, engineers and specialist sample hands. So, you know, it's an economic decision. It does have a stigma that, you know, these female workers didn't seem to be able to get their message across to the people that purchased the industry. And I think, you know, it's about people finding their voice and having support, really.
Well, Lois, how do you think we can get more people interested in pattern engineering?
Well, I think we've got to find some really interested innovators that can help join the dots, because the jobs are needed. We started Frock Club, you know, it's an award-winning community engagement program, because people didn't understand why their clothes didn't fit. Frock Club started, you know, in Austinville Museum to demystify the fashion industry and help people understand more about the industry. Because, as you would imagine, lots of people go online to buy clothing, and it can come back in any sort of size, and there's no scientific repeatability about it. And I think, you know, if those innovators are out there, Ruthie Paval and I would be very interested to talk to them, because the reality is there's an under-resourcing and an undervaluing of STEM studies in terms of application and encouragement to go into the fashion industry.
Right. If you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're joined by pattern engineers Ruth Povel and Lois Hens, who they're providing insight into the relationship between fashion and STEM industries. Now, I know you've started a group called the Frock Club that's targeted at young aspiring adults who wish to explore what else the fashion industry has to offer. Can you tell us more about this group and explain a bit further of your hopes for this group?
Nathaniel, it's Ruth here. Frock Club actually caters for people of all ages. It's sort of not age-specific or ageist in any way. And as Lois mentioned, you know, the Frock Club is about demystifying the fashion industry. When we were based, when we were working exclusively with the museum in Austinville, we'd be talking about fashion, we'd be delving into the archives and looking at examples of garments and costume from days gone by, and then we would describe that with the group. Other members of the group would bring along fashion items that they had in their home from their own collection, and they'd share these items with the rest of the group. And we found that that was a very winning formula, and particularly for the older participants in Frock Club, it brought back memories of happier times to them, and a time too when there was care and quality put into fashion and the way that things were made, which is, you know, one of our underpinning values, to honour those skills, to honour STEM studies that go into it, and also sustainability of fashion. There is a real concern with Frock Club members, we call them frockers, that that fast fashion hasn't done clothing for people of the world any favours. It's sort of brought about this harem scarem approach to good enough is, you know, near enough is good enough, and let's just chuck it out there, and it's, you know, it's creating all these other waste problems as we know about. Last November we held a fundraiser because we felt very strongly that we wanted to take our message on the road, and initially we'll be going to drought affected areas of New South Wales, because we also too felt that Frock Club could take people's minds off the drought and what was happening there, and you know, just to have an afternoon of you know, fashion and fellowship with us. So yeah, we've got we're currently developing a program to take Frock Club on the road, and with also this message of STEM studies. So, you know, in our travels, we'll also be wanting to speak to educators, and look, anybody else that can actually join the dots to you know, to sort of fix the state of the state that the fashion industry is. And it's not just in Australia. These problems that we're seeing with fit, they're not just in Australia. They are worldwide. Worldwide, there are people in the industry just saying that you know, graduates from universities are being churned out, and they're not work ready. They go into a workroom and, you know, they have very few sewing skills. Their pattern skills aren't all that great. Like, I think it's even really rather odd that there are no prerequisites for a course in fashion at a university. Yeah, there's a false assumption that if you're a designer and you've got a degree, that you know how to make patterns and you know about sizing and fit. But, you know, we've discovered that that's just a false assumption. It's just not there in the curricula. Yeah, so we're sort of wanting to challenge that, and we're wanting to look at ways that we can not necessarily change the curriculum, but, you know, we'd like to influence the curriculum so that we can get more people, young people out there that are job ready. The jobs are there.
We'll have to hold it there. Sorry, Ruth. Sorry to interrupt, but going to have to end it there. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Okay, thank you.